praise God. God is good and His grace is massive. His grace is massive. And we just want to thank Him and honor Him. And I just want to thank you and honor you for who you are. Earlier when we just gave words to one another, I can truly say my wife always bounces back. And she's a fighter. Not necessarily with me, but spiritually she's a fighter. And I've learned a lot from her and I can truly honor her. And she fights a lot for our children. And I believe for you guys as well. And a lot for me. She probably fights a lot, the most, not with me, but for me. And I appreciate that. And I just want to honor you for that. And may we just grow in that. And may our hearts just grow in that. I'm really eagerly wanting to hear what God has laid on your heart, even though I've seen your notes. But yeah, it's really a privilege for us to just hear from you. Kom ons klap hande vir my vrou.
Thank you. I really think it's a miracle that I'm standing up here today because it has been a crazy 4 or 5 weeks. There we go.
I just quickly want to say, I told Frida and Sophia, Mama gaan preek, so ek moet na julle kyk. In other words, I need to look after you. And Frida came around just on half an hour later. Beteken dit, Mama is nou die leader. I wanted to say, Mama don't need the mic to be the leader, but let's say this on Sunday. So, liefie geniet het.
Yeah, we just had the craziest 4 or 5 weeks that I've had in a long time. I went up with a friend to help facilitate a ladies' retreat conference thingy in Middelburg, which was awesome. God really did amazing things there. And we had to move, and the kids were sick, and it's just a lot of things. And God just really tested me on learning to be still in the storm. And I can really say, like, I never thought I'd preach today because I had only a week to prepare. Usually it takes months, but it's God. And I just really felt this word was of Him and that I needed to share it now. It was just like, it's a thing. So it's just awesome to have the privilege. So we finally settled into our new house and in the new neighborhood, and we're so excited to be more central so that we can see you guys more often, so you can come and pop in and have tea and, you know, just build community because that's the heart. We just felt, and I just want to thank everyone who brought us meals. I didn't have to cook for a week. That's community. That's awesome. So just thank you. Thank you, Pauline, specifically, and there were others as well, but it was just such a blessing. And the people just popping in to actually come and see what the house looks like, but it was just so fun. I'm like, yay, this is what we want. So come and pop in, please. We just feel it's really spiritually significant that we are moving into this area. So please just keep us in your prayers as well, and we're really praying for strategy and stuff like that. And just for community. God has been speaking to us about community for a while now, and it's just so amazing what God does. We got to the leadership training weekend in July, and Pastor Fred and Pastor Tiens were saying the same. And I'm just like, yes, it's God. We need to share this. So it's really a thing that God, it's a high priority to God at the moment, community. And it just really got me thinking, like, why, God? Why is this so important to you? And it's not like I'm not talking today because I feel there's a lack of community here. That's not the case. I just feel there's a bigger emphasis and a focus on actually doing it right, on getting this community thing right the way God planned it. Because in today and in Western culture, as you know, it's all me and myself and I. Everything is about getting your things in order. Your ducks are in a row, so the rest must just seem cum clar and get on. And just survival of the fittest out there. And even in church, you've got your house and your children sorted out, so you don't care as much and you don't reach out as much because you have to fight for your family and they need to be fine. But we're a bigger family. And we have to have each other's backs as well. And that's what I want to talk about today. And I mean, I was thinking about how we are literally trained and programmed from such a small age to cope on our own. I know Jenny will tell you a lot about it, this as well, little babies. But I mean, today, we need to just go pop your baby in bed, and they cry their lungs out while you're in the next room. And I'm not saying sleep training is bad, because I did it as well. It's just how you do it. I know Frida had colic. Everyone told me, put her in the bed and just walk away. I couldn't. That child was in pain. I couldn't just leave her there. So we have to know the cues, like when to give tough love and when to actually step in and just help someone. And that's what I want to talk about today. And you've all heard about the saying, no man is an island. It's actually part of a poem by John Donne. And it says, no man is an island, entire of itself. Every man is a piece of a continent, a part of a main. And even the world knows this. We know that. But we are programmed differently from small age. And that's what we need to break. We need to break through that paradigm and that mindset that just cope. Just cope on your own. Because I don't think God designed it that way. He designed us to be part of family. He designed us to fit in somewhere and to belong somewhere and to be taken care of. He made it that way. My mouth is so dry, but when I drink, I need to run to the loo. So I don't know what to do anymore. Let's just pray I don't need to go to the loo. Okay, community. I just looked up in the dictionary. It says, a social, religious, occupational, or other group sharing common characteristics or interests and perceived or perceiving itself as distinct in some respect from the larger society within which it exists. So as a church community, because that's what we want to be, that's what we are whether we know it or not, we need to stand out. We need to be set apart, not like holy huddle, we're better than you, kind of stand out and be set apart, in the sense that we look different. So we do community differently than the world does it. You know, a tennis club is a community, but they gossip. And they drink tea together, and they play tennis together. That's not the idea. We need to do it differently. At school, in the staff room, if you're a teacher, that's community. But it's a dog-eat-dog world out there sometimes. So we need to stand out. We are failing if we're looking at community the same way the world is. So there's a need for us to distinguish ourselves from other societies in the world, and there's a need for us to show similarities in some regards as well. So we are different, all of us, but we have something in common, or someone in common, and that is Christ. And we need to show Christ to the world, and that's what it's about. So why is it necessary for us as a church to go against the grain of Western culture, to go against how you were programmed from small, and get community right? Why is this so important? So I was just really praying through this because I know it's important, but we need to put handles to this. And the whole sermon series was about love looks like something. And this time, love looks like community. So it's important to God that we show love in the form of community as well. So the first thing I have there, why is it necessary to get community right? Authentic community, because now we know there's fakers out there as well. Why is it important for authentic community? The first one, because Jesus said so. He said so, point. So if you don't believe any of the other things, at least take home this one. The first one, he said in John 13, verse 34 to 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. And that's the clincher. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. This is how we're going to distinguish ourselves. Jesus says that you love one another just as I have loved you. Jesus loves me, warts and all. He loves me even though I make the same mistakes day in, day out, over and over and over again. He still loves me. He loves me when I'm at my worst. He loves me when I'm in my darkest hour. He loves me. And so now he is asking us, the bar is really high, he's asking us to love one another in the same way. That we love one another, that person in a small group that has been struggling with the same thing for a year, can't they get over it? They might be wrong, but you need to love them. You still need to love them. You still need to be there. And it's hard. It gets tough sometimes. But that's what God is asking of us, to love one another unconditionally, over and over again. This is what is going to show the world that we're his disciples. Then Luke 6, verse 32 to 33. And this one is a hard one, I think, for most of us. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. Now this is where church gets very interesting, because we're a mixed bunch thrown together. Different ideas, different ways of doing things, different mindsets, different backgrounds. And it gets tough. Because you don't choose the people who are in church with you. You don't choose the people who are in small group with you. You just get to love them. That's your job. You can't change them. You're just supposed to love them. And it's easy to love people who are like you, who think like you, who dress like you, who do the same things. That's the easy part. But church community actually forces us to love the people that you wouldn't necessarily have chosen, or that you don't necessarily like at first. I know I've been in church for a long time, and then you get in small groups or somewhere, and you're just like, this person is going to kill me. It's just like, it's not working for me. And I mean, I was young and immature as well. I'm over that stage now. I think I handle things a little bit better these days. But and then God will just, as we pray and as we just get stuck in praying and praying for one another, I actually love those people so much. And some of those people are the ones who helped me change the most, are the ones who challenged me to change. And I'm eternally grateful. I had a cell group leader in Stellenbosch when I was at university. And she was tiny, and she spoke so softly. And I was like the student, you know, and I'm loud, and we're going out there. And at that stage, I loved doing spiritual warfare and anointing places and declaring the ground for God. And she was like, no, I'm quite scared to go and anoint places. I'm not quite comfortable with that. And I'm just like, and you're my cell leader. And I was so offended, because I was like, I know so much more than her. And God just went and he flipped it around and he showed me that she had character and I didn't. I could have all the power in the world and anoint all the rooms and all the demons fly. I didn't have character at all. And she had. And I learned that from her. So she was one of the people who once told me, like, Edna, you can stay like this your whole life and use your pain as an excuse. And I was like, oh, how could she say that to me? She doesn't know half of it. And that stuck with me, and I got sorted out because of that. But I was offended. God knew she needed to be my cell leader. And I just want to challenge you and encourage you that when you have that one person somewhere in church, learn from them. The best way for us to actually die to ourselves and realize that life is not all about you is to be in church community and to learn to love different people. Learn to love people that you wouldn't have necessarily chosen. So just in that, authentic Christian community always glorifies God, because we cannot do it without him. We can't do it without his unconditional love in our hearts. And that's why it glorifies God. That's why people go, wow, you guys are such a mixed bunch and you love one another. Wow, how do you do that? Okay, so that's awesome. And for us, just to stay humble. To stay humble and realize that we don't know all of it. You don't know everything. And in that humility, God's glory can come. Okay. And then the second one is, so why is authentic Christian community important? The whole world is watching. As I was preparing for the sermon, the whole time I heard that LG thing, the world awaits. And it's just like, it's that. The world is waiting for us to get it right. The world is watching. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 20. So, we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. God is making his appeal through us. And people, if God needs to make his appeal through us, we need to be appealing to the world. As a community, as a group of people together in church, we need to get it right. We need to look appealing to the people out there. Like, I really want to be part of this group. I want to come to church. Wow, I feel so loved. I feel so welcome. There's no cliques. There's no stuff. Because that's what's happening in the world. Okay. So we need to understand that all eyes are on us. We need to sort out our offenses with one another. It's important that we sort out our differences and our offenses, because if we can't deal with it better than the world does, we're not going to be a good example. They wouldn't want to come to us. Why would they want to be a Christian? Why would they want to come to church, in a church community, if we can't do it better than the world? And this was kind of hard as I was preparing. I'm like, oh, Lord, I don't want to share this, but I just feel it's so important. And it's not like I'm saying this is here. I'm just saying if it is here, we need to sort it out, all of us. If there is gossiping, backbiting, strife, so fighting, backstabbing, and offense among ourselves, we are disqualifying and discrediting ourselves. And that's harsh. Like the world, the lost is not going to come in here if we're not sorted out and if we're not right with one another. And that's the thing. If it is here, we need to sort it out and we need to repent so that God can actually be glorified through our congregation and that we can draw the lost home. We can draw them home. So they are hungry for the love of Christ. We need to show the love of Christ here. It's so important. And charity begins at home. Don't go out there evangelizing when you are quiet for your sister in small group. First sort out the stuff here. And same with me. At home, it's easy for me to be the perfect Christian when I'm up here, or when I'm at small group, or when I'm at the Mount Nelson sipping tea, or, you know, the nice places. It's easy to be a Christian. But when I'm in the throes of what I call mommy hour, at 5 p.m. in the afternoon, and both children are crying, and I don't want to eat this, and I don't want to bath, and I want to pull my hair out of my head, it's then that I need to make sure that I'm sorted out. It's then that I have to draw on God for his patience and his grace and his love. And the same in church community. When things don't work out the way you do, you want them to, or when people say things that offend you, you have the opportunity to draw on God, on his love for them, and his forgiveness, and his grace for them. And that is how we learn how to love unconditionally. And it is very important at this stage, I think, because it is the end times. It wasn't the 23rd of September, but the Bible says that we will not know the days and the dates. Nobody knows. So don't be tricked like that. But we can see the seasons. And the season shows that it's almost, we're getting there. Okay? So we need to get community right now. It's now more important than ever. Romans 8 verse 19 says, for creation eagerly awaits with anticipation for God's sons to be revealed. How are we revealed? When are you God's son? Luke 6 verse 35 says, "But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and the evil." And I'm not saying your enemy is in church, or that the evil people are in church. I'm just saying sometimes in church, someone might feel like your enemy. You had a little spat, and now you're like, "Oh, I'm not going to small group anymore." Or you do something for someone, and you keep on making effort with them, and they're unthankful. Or you might just think someone is evil for some other reason. And I'm not saying that it is like this, but if you feel like this, you need to love them anyway. Because that will reveal that you are the sons, that we are the sons of God. And it says here, creation eagerly waits with anticipation for us to be revealed. They are looking for something that's authentic, something that's real. Okay, so that's our challenge. It will be a credit unto you when you love unconditionally the people who spitefully use you and abuse you and what. And it will be a credit unto Christian community. So let all of us start with ourselves and get it right. Authentic Christian community appeals to the world and draws the world back to the love of God. That's what we want. That's what Jesus wants. He's longing for the saved to come home. So let's be part of that. The third one, why authentic Christian community is important? We grow. This is the one that isn't always so nice. We grow. The Spirit of God has been sent to create unity out of diversity, peace out of conflict, and healing out of wounded hearts. The greatest spiritual growth will come from overcoming differences, and the greatest testimony of God's supernatural work in a Christian community will be the love and unity that results from taking the long, hard road of true community. It's hard work. It is hard work. People are weird. And it's fine. So we need to deal with that. Being part of a church community or family is not always comfortable and easy. God didn't ask us to be comfortable or have things easy. That wasn't part of his plan. Jesus didn't have it comfortable or easy when he was hanging on the cross. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 46. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. So think of those people who kind of bother you. And I'm reading this for you now. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. Love doesn't have a swelled head. Doesn't force itself on others. Isn't always me first. Doesn't fly off the handle. Doesn't keep score of the sins of others. It doesn't revel when others grovel. It takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. And one of the best things is when you see someone else is getting breakthrough. It's like, oh, that's my food. When someone else is getting free, I'm like, yay, that's what my life is about. That's what I want my life to be about. Love puts up with anything, endures all things. Trusts God always. Always looks for the best in people. Love never looks back, but keeps going to the end. And this basically sums up our challenge as a very diverse and different group of people together. This is what it's about. Retief preached on love is transcending. Or was it Pietri? Love is ever transcending. It transcends the irritations. It transcends the boundaries and the differences. And this is what community will do for you, growth. In church community, you are between people who challenge you to draw on God's love and on his grace to deal with him. You get rid of the me, myself, and I. So you grow. In church community, you will not always have things your way. Or things will be said by people that offend you. You have a choice as to how you respond. You grow. In church community, you will have to tolerate people. And I'm not talking about tolerance as the world does it. You think and believe what you believe, and I believe what I believe, and let's just leave it at that. Because we need to address sin, and we need to help one another. This tolerance, and I read this, and it was just so beautiful. I will continue to accept you and move toward you, even though you have hurt, annoyed, disappointed, or offended me. I will continue to move toward you. And we were trained, like, something hurt me, so it's like I turn away from it. I don't need this. I don't want this in my life. So I'm just going to shut off. That's not what we're supposed to do. We need to break through, transcend that hurt. Transcend that annoyance and irritation and offense. That's true love. God didn't put you in marriage or covenant relationship to be happy. I had such a shock when I heard this for the first time. happily ever after isn't in the Bible. God didn't say, let's put woman and man together, they will live happily ever after. Happiness might be a fruit of very hard work and spiritual discipline in marriage and in relationship. It might be a fruit. But you were put in relationship to die to yourself. That's the best way to die. I thought I was a really cool Christian. Really, I just had everything down to a T, and then I got married. And then I had children. And then I'm like, what's up? All I see is gunk. What's coming out here? And that's what relationship does to you. Suddenly, it's in your face. Someone is irritating you here, and now you need to, like, kind of, this wants to come up now, and sometimes it does. And then it's like, where did you come from? I need to sort you out. The best way to sort things out is in relationship. And sometimes our brokenness makes it hard for us to relate, but it's only in relationship that you'll find that healing. God gave me a husband and 2 children to sort me out. And it's hard sometimes, and I cry sometimes. But it's so necessary. I heard this weekend, it was so awesome. Someone went to a conference by Stephen and Dawn De Silva, who started the whole SOZO thing, inner healing movement in Bethel Church. And they were talking about a blender, that if you put the blender on at 2, and it idles at 2, and you take the lid off, nothing comes out. It's just nicely spinning, everything's in there. But put the pressure up and put the blender to 8, everything just over the whole room. And then we have to actually go and evaluate our splats. Sometimes the splats that come out are awful. And then you need to go and find out, like, Lord, I do not like this that's coming out when the pressure is on. What is this? And deal with it. And where will that pressure go up to 8? In community. It's the best place. And it's a safe place. And we need to deal with one another. Like, oh, look at that one, splat. No. You have your own splats. Sort yourself out. Okay. So, authentic Christian community grows authentic Christians. Let's get real. We all sin and we all miss it. Let's sort ourselves out. So there was 2 parts in this that we grow. The first one was that it's not easy. And the second one is that unity is actually part of authentic community. Did you see the word unity is in community? I thought that was so cool. And that's just, it needs to be that way. If there's no unity in community, we have a problem, people. We have a problem. And I just want to talk about that a little bit. Ephesians 4, verse 1 to 3. Unity and maturity in the body of Christ. Walk in unity. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another, in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And I just want to stop there quickly. I'm starting to believe that you cannot walk worthy of your calling outside of community. How can you without people? If you're a lone ranger, what help is that to anyone? And this was just like, wow, if you want to walk worthy of your calling, you need to get stuck in with people. And it's got to be in your face. And sometimes you would want to smack someone, but then you get over it. Yes. So, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And I believe that's so important for us. If we can get this right, we're sorted. Unity does not mean that we're all the same. Me and my husband, we need to have unity. We're definitely not the same. Unity only means that you're on the same page. You're going towards the same goal and purpose. And we know that's to love God and love the people around us. We're all, it says here, there is one body and one Spirit, just as we're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. So we're all one. One person is the ear, the other one's the eye, the other one the hand, the foot. The foot can't be mad at the eye because the eye isn't walking. And the eye can't be mad at the hand because the hand can't see what the eye is seeing. We need to understand that in the unity that we have, some person is going to be more prophetic. Another person is going to pack out the chairs and feel fine with packing out the chairs. Another person is going to work with the kids. And it doesn't mean that they're wrong. It doesn't mean because that person doesn't pray through the night that they're now some off, because they can't pray through the night. It means they have a different gifting. So we need to understand that we're working towards the same goal in different ways, and it's fine. We have different strengths. And in this divine tension of our differences, we learn the following. And if you look at the scripture, it's so it's put well there. We learn the following. The first thing is we learn to be humble. It's not all about me. And if you actually realize that people around you are suffering as well, you kind of get over yourself. It's not only you going through the hard time and not being able to connect with the Lord or this or that. Some people don't have food on the table. So if we start looking around like, Lord, where are the needs around me? What can I do to help? You forget about yourself and your problems. So we learn humility. And things aren't always done the way you like it, like with my cell leader, Katie, for whom I'm ever grateful. But she taught me a thing or two, and I thought she wouldn't be able to. And then the next thing, we learn to be gentle and meek, that controls strength. You can't come to someone like, you buffoon, bah, you must sort out this and that thing. You won't win them over. Jesus came with meekness, with gentleness. He is a gentleman. We need to learn how to be gentle with one another. If you see sin, pray first. Pray. Let God tell you what to do. Sometimes you only have to pray and the person comes to you like, oh, this is the issue. I'm struggling with this. Like, hallelujah. And they come out with it themselves. Other times, in a very gentle, loving way, you need to tell them, like, there's a blind spot. I love you. I need you to know this so we can pray about it. So we need to learn that gentleness. Otherwise, we're going to kill people. Then we need to learn to be patient with one another. Love is patient, love is kind, and it does not keep records of the wrong. So we need to make allowance for each other's differences and weaknesses and faults. I'm not saying like a-okay it, but make allowance that someone isn't as strong as you in this area, and it's fine. Then you love them until they get there and help them until they get there. That's why you're in their life. Okay, so we're a team. it's like Gideon. God came to Gideon. He was hiding behind the wine vat. And God called him out to, "You mighty man of valor." Gideon must have thought, "God, I'm hiding. What are you on?" And that's what we can do with one another. That you know God has called this person to speak in front of millions, and now they don't even want to go out their room. And then you start speaking that over them and speaking life over them until they get there. And the same in marriage and in family. Don't tell your children, "Oh, you're naughty," because then they're going to be naughty. Speak life over the people around you. Community is in your face, like I said. It is supposed to challenge you. People will offend you. And saying this with as much love as I can, get over yourself. I know many times offense comes and I'm just like, I just want to run with this now. I'm so mad, how dare they? And it's not going to help me any. So I have to learn, like, God, I'm hidden in you. It's no longer Edna who live. It's Christ in me. It's okay. Jesus, just absorb this for me. I don't want the offense. And then next time you see them, you give them a hug and it's all gone. So it's possible, but God needs to be in it. And I almost want to say, if you're not offended by people around you, and if you do not need to draw on God for tolerance, patience, humility, those things, you're not stuck in enough. You're not involved enough in people's lives. In Western culture, we are taught, build my wall, have my stuff sorted. Oh, look over there. No. We're supposed to get in there, and people are going to do and say things that blah yo. But that's part of it. And we need to get stuck in, and we need to stick it out with people. Get stuck in and stick it out. It's going to be okay. If you get through it, it will be amazing. Like I said, some people I met, I'm thinking like, oh, this person, some of them are my best friends today. Like really, they've got my back. Because we love with God's love. It's not a human thing. It's a godly thing. And it was so awesome when I read this. That shalom peace, where it says, preserve the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. That shalom peace means health and beauty come from the harmonious integration of different parts. Isn't that beautiful? Health and beauty come from the harmonious integration of different parts. We want a healthy and beautiful community. We want a healthy and beautiful church group, congregation. So let's pursue, let's do everything to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We have to pursue peace. We have to pursue peace with one another. If someone sins against you, go sort it out with meekness, with gentleness. But sort it out. Authentic community has unity out of diversity. We don't need to be the same. We don't need to understand one another. You don't need to understand people. You need to understand what God wants you to do and how He wants you to love them. And the last thing, why is community so important? We need it. We are built for it. Hebrews 10, verse 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner with some, but exhorting one another. And so much more as you see the day approaching. I said it's the last days, didn't I? So in community, love and good works are stirred up. These discipleship groups and the small groups, when you get out of there, you want to go and save the world. You're so pumped up, you just want to go and speak to someone about the Lord. We need to stir up love and good works. You hear this person is taking that one food and you're like, "Ooh, maybe I should do it too." Stirring up the good works. In community, we are encouraged and strengthened. That comes from 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. We are established in righteousness. Job 4, verse 3 to 4. We are healed and restored. James 5, verse 16. Needs can be met. My needs were met For 7-8 days, people brought me food. I didn't ask it. They all came Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They didn't know of one another. I had food for every night, and they didn't know about one another. That's God. That's the body working together. That was awesome. I'm like, did you have a group or something in you? No. Wow, that's awesome. In community, we find counsel and wisdom. This was so awesome. Without counsel, plans go wrong. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. That's Proverbs 15, verse 22. So when you need to find things out, or you have to confirm something, go to the people around you. And Psalm 68, verse 6 says, God sets the solitary in families. The people who are alone, the rejected, He puts those people in family. And we need to be that family for them. If you are quite happy with your friends and your people, let's be family for the other people then, so that they can come home and feel happy and loved. So God created us for family. He created us for community. And even, I was thinking about this, even God is part of three. He has three personas. Even God is in community. That was so cool. Are they the same? Are they the same? No. Holy Spirit, Jesus, God is different. Do they have the same purpose and goal? Yes. So we can be the same. And there's nothing that expresses the image of God and His love to the world than community. Community is the practical application of God's love. So we were talking about love for a long time now. This is where you live it out. This is where you practice it. And then it spills over to the world. And community is responding to the love of God as it spills over to others. So just one more thing. I just felt I had to say that, like, what you put into community, you'll get out. As much as you are involved, that much you can take from community. And I'm not saying now Pauline made me a dinner, so now I have to make Pauline a dinner. I'm just saying, like, I have sowed into the kingdom. I've sowed meals into the kingdom, and I'm going to receive it back from someone. It doesn't have to be Pauline. So when you do something, do it for God. Don't do it like, I'm giving you a meal. You have to give me a meal when I move. Okay. But it does work that way. I love taking people meals. And I've been blessed now. Because God knew that I like it or that I need it. And He organized it. Don't go like, oog for oog, tand for tand. I did this for you. No, you do the same for me. Sow it into the kingdom, sow it into this community, and you will receive it some way or the other. Ronald, you guys sowed here, and I know that you will receive in the next community as well, even a double portion. So, just think bigger. You're doing it for God. So the more all of us give and share and love, the more we'll see that authentic community here, and I'm so excited about that. I really feel like God is going to explode community here, and we're going to see this whole place come to God. So let's see that happen. And I just want to move into ministry time now. If Petri, are your fingers okay? So if this morning, as I was talking about community, something irritated you about it, or something God just put His finger somewhere that hurt, or you were convicted, I just want you to close your eyes. God laid 5 things on my heart that I just want to give us opportunity this morning to bring before Him. If one of these things speak to you, or even something else, please come forward so we can pray for that, so that God can heal us and heal our community, heal our idea of community. The first group of people that I... Yeah, let's just pray first. Father God, we just want to glorify You, Lord. We just come and proclaim, Father God, that community and church is all about You. And it's about glorifying Your name, Lord. And it's about having people come home and feeling loved, Father. And Lord, our heart as Shofar Table View, Lord, is to get congregational community right. To to see your kingdom come here, to see your glory here, Lord. Father, yeah, I pray that you will come and hover over our hearts this morning and just come and point out those places where we have missed community, where we have missed the truth of what you want for us. And help us to open our hearts, Lord, so that you can come in and heal and make new and restore. The first thing that I had on my heart, just to share, if this is you, you can put up your hand or you can come forward, and we really want to pray. The first thing that I got was pride. People do things differently than you, just like I felt with my cell leader at Stellenbosch. So it must be wrong. Or you like doing things your way, and you won't budge when things are done in another way. If this is you, I just really feel like, just respond to God in this. Lay it down so he can come and change it. The next one was comfort. I have my group of friends outside of church, or even in church, or my small group, and I'm happy. I don't need other people, and I don't want other people to come in. And that's what we call a holy huddle. And God doesn't want that. We're all family. So if that is you this morning, just repent before God and bring it before him and help him to open your heart to others, to see the lost. The next one is fear of rejection. What if I don't fit in, God? So I'll rather stay away. What if they don't like me? What if they hurt me? I've been hurt so many times. And this morning I want to challenge you, it's not about you. It's about God's glory coming and his love coming. The next one is offense. Someone in church or even church leaders have hurt you. And you have isolated yourself from them and people in church as to avoid them. This brings division, unfortunately. God wants us to get rid of that. And you close yourself off to receiving from that person the Holy Spirit through that person. So forgive this morning. I ask you to forgive this morning and go make right with that person. If another believer sins against you, the Bible says, go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won them back. So some of you might have to go after today and you need to go and address an offense with someone so that you might win them back. And it's not for yourself, it's for God. And then the last group of people, you've had a wrong view of community. You were thinking of that tennis club where people gossip, and it's unsafe, and it's a place of rejection, and the people are weird. God wants to come and restore that view this morning. So I just want to ask now, as God is speaking to you, and one of these things spoke to your heart, I want to challenge you to come to the front so we can pray with you. And we want to see God's healing come. Thank you, Lord. If I can just have cell leaders or leaders come and pray with them.
As we start to pray, Lord, I pray that there's so much richness in that, in this message. And as we prayed earlier today, thank you, Lord, that this message will not be stuck in this hall, Lord. It will go out. It will go out and touch the hearts in our church where it needs to be. And those Christians in this area, it will touch their hearts, Lord. Spirit of God, you are the one that will convict the world of righteousness, sin, and judgment. Holy Spirit, you are the counselor. Holy Spirit, you are the one that will carry out God's message to this community so that your people can turn back to your fold so that your people can turn back to wholeness, diversity and wholeness and unity and community, that your people can turn back to love. And we trust you for that, Holy Spirit. Thank you that you will go out and complete this message. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for that. We're going to end off, and I'll just thank you, Father God, for this awesome day, and thank you for this time spent. Thank you for the seeds that you've sown in all of our lives, and as well out there. And we pray that they will bring forth a fruit, that they'll bring forth a harvest, 30, 60, and 100-fold. In Jesus' name, we thank you for that, Father. Amen.